Thank you so much, guys. So, is my audio, can everyone hear my voice? Oh, perfect. So, I would be talking about external RookCEP cluster. So, people might not be aware, like, what's Rook, what's CEP, and what thing I'm talking about. So, I will take you to the intro first about what topic is this, and then we'll deep dive into this topic. I am Parth Arora, and I work for IBM Storage as a software developer and closely with Rook operator, and I'm one of the lead approver of that repo. Okay, so anybody like might be storing data, applications, creating applications through Kubernetes, right? But everyone knows like Kubernetes is designed in terms like which doesn't talk much about data, but anyhow, any application we can talk about, there is storage for that, and we need to store data in it. And for now, if someone wants to store the data that is coming from Kubernetes application, we just talk about cloud providers and talking to the cloud, and they might be doing anything we don't know at the backend. So why not to bring the storage into your data center? And traditionally, like there are some limitations also with cloud providers, like number of nodes, how we can scale up, the different AZs. So why not to have a native solution with your own Kubernetes cluster? So, and also like to manage that cluster, how natively your Kubernetes application manages, and also manage that storage with in the same way. So here comes the most trusted platform, CEP, that can like make the storage available to you in the form of Kubernetes. How it will be, but first I will talk about CEP, why CEP. So it's like, it has a lot of enterprise, already enterprise is using from like trusted platform from past 10 years, and it provides all the storage at the same time, the block, file, and object. You name it and it provides. And it's open source, and it has so many features. It's resilient, it's configurable, it's more disaster proven, and it's consistent, and provide like give your data a safe point of view. And so CEP was designed even back when Kubernetes was introduced. So to bring the storage to the Kubernetes world, we have designed Rook, and this is how it was born, to bring the CEP to the Kubernetes. It's the management layer, so it helps in installing and managing the state. It's not just like it's there are Python scripts that just install it, but it actually manages the state of it. How it does, it's a Kubernetes operator, which works how a Kubernetes actual desired and actual state works. And we can manage through that, and how we can define what we need to give the state. So that's the CRDs. We can give any definition to that, and that thing can be configured. And like we can give like I need monitoring, I need the block storage. So these types of things we can provide through CRDs. And so this is the how the architecture of Rook CEP looks like. Rook is the management layer which installs CEP, the CEP CSI driver which helps in mounting the pod, like the storage to your application pod. How it's the native Kubernetes, we have CEP CSI for CEP, and CEP being the data layer. And Rook works in two mode. So first is what I talked about, bringing the storage into your application cluster only, the same cluster. That would be the Rook converse mode. It's recommended if like we just have one to the single cluster, but when we need external cluster, that I would be talking about. So first of all, what's an external cluster is? So external cluster means you already have a CEP cluster installed in which like there are CEP daemons. These are the CEP terminologies, the MON, OSTs, RGW, MDS. These are some daemons running that helps your storage to like store the data. So it's already been there. And now comes the part like I'm in Kubernetes world. I need to connect this CEP to the Kubernetes. So how will I do that? So there would be a separate Kubernetes cluster running. in which there would be a Rook operator and this FCSI layer. And we need to provide data of external Ceph cluster to Kubernetes. So how that magic does. So I will be taking to that part. So first of all, I will tell why you need an external cluster. In what cases, like I told you, like you can have this same cluster in your native application. So why you need external cluster? So you might be having a big enterprise where you have like different domains of Kubernetes cluster running. Like there is an admin cluster that is there, and there is a finance cluster department Kubernetes cluster there. And you need isolation between them. They shouldn't talk with each other. And underlying storage, you want the same. So you can make a use of external cluster in that way. As you see, like there is a standalone external Ceph cluster that has been connected to a different Kubernetes cluster and have isolation of what kind of data is stored and only access that data only. That is internal algorithm that maps the secret and puts your data safe. So this is how you can, like this is one use case when you can use external Ceph cluster. Secondly, like for example, you are native, you are already using Ceph, but you want to come into the Kubernetes world. So that would be one of the use case. And the third would be like if you need complete isolation of data, like someone wants like to keep the data totally separate, so then you can use that. So, but external cluster provides all the three types of data, block, file, object. There is no restriction on that. So you can make use of that. So this is why external looks at cluster. Now comes the part how we can install it and how it internally works. Like I showed you like in the diagram, we have to grab the information from the standalone cluster and give it to the Kubernetes cluster. So this is how it's being done. So there is a provider cluster that's standalone where daemons are running. So cluster admin will come. It will scrape the data from it. And once scraping the data, it will provide it to the consumer cluster. And this is the Kubernetes cluster that is running. So that data, it will create some secrets, config map. And after we have the details, what all it has been fetched, like it will give the IP address and other details that we needed. And once it's done, it will give it to the Rook operator, and Rook operator will perform in the external mode this time and will create the Rook resources and the storage class. And then we can create PVCs and mount that PVCs to your application pods. So this is the working and how this scraping is done. So there is a Python script. We have to give some CLI flags to it. And this should be like user defined, what kind of flags they are. Like it's RBD data pool name or RGW endpoint. So if we give like the specific name of the pool, then we run some Ceph commands with this Python script and it will fetch the data, like the monitoring endpoints and other things, and give it to the Kubernetes cluster. And once we have the JSON data, then we run the import script for it to import it to the Kubernetes cluster and deploy the manifest. These are the CRDs, the definitions, how we want to configure our external cluster. So I will be showing this in the demo, how does this works. And once it's done, then we'll verify the connection. We have the cluster running and up, so how we can check it? So we can just get the Ceph cluster and we can see it's in the connected and the health okay state. And then goes like we can go and create the storage class, pool, and create PVC on depending like what kind of storage you need. You need CephFS or RBD or RGW. And now comes the time for the demo. Everything breaks. So I have recorded the demo. So is it visible? So this is the standalone Ceph cluster where we can see the health is OK. And now there are some pools already been there, RBD pools. So these are some Ceph native commands that we can run. By this CephFS, we list the CephFS file system pools. Now there is a Python script. I'm giving using the CLI flags. And you can see, I run the Python script with some flags, and I got the exported data. So this was like external cluster. I export this data. Then I will take this to the Kubernetes cluster, that's the second cluster. I will copy this. And so in this terminal, like, there was the minikube running, and I have exported it. And now I will run the import script that will use this exported values and create the config and app and secrets for the Kubernetes. And after that, I have to install the manifests, the CRDs, the definitions. I'm using the example folder of Rook, in which there are already defined some configurations. So I'm using that only for now. So there would be CRDs.yaml. There would be common.yaml, which have the RBACs, the specific permissions to it, what permissions I need to give. And the operator.yaml, the Rook operator file. And the cluster external. This is the Ceph external cluster that I will create in Rook, in the Kubernetes side. And there's also common external, which creates the separate namespace if we want to keep the Ceph cluster in different namespace. So in this, I'm using a separate namespace for the Ceph cluster. And for the Kubernetes cluster, I'm using the separate namespace in which the Rook operator resides. And now I'm checking, I have created all the manifests. Now I'm waiting to get the Ceph cluster up and running. So the Ceph cluster is created, and so this is the Ceph cluster internals YAML, if you want to see. And now I will describe it, and you can see it's ready. Now the main thing is I have to wait for the Rook operator to get started. So this is how all the pods that will be get started. There is a Rook operator. There are some Ceph CSI plugins, daemons, that will use to mount the data. And yeah, that's all. And other daemons are already running in external Ceph cluster, the mons, OSDs, in which our data will resides. So the connection is good, what I have shown in previous slides. Now I've created the storage class. The storage class will be also be created. We can create some others if we needed. Now in this demo, I will tell you how we can create a RBD PVC and store data, and how it's disaster proven, or how it's how Ceph internally replicates and make our data safe. So now the demo starts for that. So once we have the storage class, the Ceph RBD or the Rook Ceph block, these two belongs to the block pool. And now I'm creating this MySQL example, in which it will create a MySQL pod and a PVC and a service to it. So what I will do is making use of that Ceph RBD storage class, I will create this PVC and mount this PVC to the MySQL pod. And there is a service, if you want to see that MySQL service outside the minikube, you can make use of that service. So the PVC is created. We have the pod. I will wait for the pod. PVC is bound state, and pod is still getting created, the WordPress MySQL, and the service is created. Once the pod is created, yeah, it's up and running. Now I will go inside the pod, and I will go to the mount path that I have written, and I will create a file in it. So this is actual application, for example, MySQL, that might be your actual application there. And what I'm doing right now here. So this is, I'm telling if you want to use a NodePort service, this is something that is needed. If you want to see our, I'm on Minikube. If you want to see the cluster outside of it, you can use this NodePort service. But the main thing is the data. So focusing on that. So I'm inside the pod using this command, escape command. So I'm inside it. Now I will go to a certain path. That's the mount pod where the PVC has been mounted. That is where So while creating the pod, I have given this path. So I'm using that only. And now in this part where PVC will write the data, so I'm creating a demo.txt where I will saying I will be persisted because of self-replication. And now I will go. So this is inside the mount pod. And I will go and delete this pod. So this is file that's been created. I'm inside the pod. Now I will delete the pod. For example, there is a disaster. This pod has been deleted. I will delete this. And as it's a deployment, it will create again in some other node as the pod is deleted. And now I can see the pod is recreated by Kubernetes. It's 9 seconds ago. And I will go inside it again to the exact path, the CD where live MySQL. And I can see that. That file should re-exist there. Where live MySQL. And if I cat it, so there is still demo.txt, even if the pod was gone, but the file was still exists. You can see that. And that's all with the demo. And quickly back to the slides. So these are some new features we have added, the Rados namespace, the IPv6 support, and the RGW multisite. And we are also going to add some new more features, the Replica 1, and support for the topology awareness, and also to improve the documentation. And these are some community links. And thanks for that. This is my LinkedIn logo, if you want, someone wants to connect. And yeah, thanks for that. Any questions anyone have?
What credentials do you need to abstract or to get all the information from the SAP cluster? Do you need to be an admin user, or can you also be a regular user? So if you don't want to expose admin credentials to the user. So can you do actually do this as a user? There's enough SAP credentials to pools to make an export of all these information and bring it into your own Kubernetes cluster.
So the question is, what all permissions we need when we actually the export the data? The client admin is there, like which actually gets the data and give it to the Kubernetes cluster. So what all permissions we needed? So we keep the permissions minimum. We can give the admin key ring, but we just give the minimum permissions to it to just read and write, because we don't allow Rook to create anything on this Ceph cluster. We just allow to read the data and manage it. So that's the minimum permissions that was required to Ceph CSI. So we expose that only. Anyone else? Okay, I guess. Thanks. Thank you all.